Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
I want to encourage you, God has a word for you. You are not here by mistake. You have not logged in by mistake. Things may be crazy around you. I know for me, it's just been kind of brain foggy, you know. I just think there's just a lot going on. And so sometimes it's hard to sit and concentrate. But, you know, the girls who are here, they're a captive audience. I mean, they're here, you know. And I'm so glad you girls showed up. But I'm glad you showed up as well online, because you are going to be blessed as well as all the rest of us. So let's go ahead and pray. And then we are going to jump into the word. Just to give you just a little bit of who I am, you know, my name is Pastor Michelle Villanueva. My husband and I grew up in this church, and then we got married, and we have three kids, and we're over in the youth ministry, and just loving life, doing ministry and everything. So I'm excited to be a part of this women's ministry and just bring you a message that we've been going through with the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you have given it to us to cling, Lord God, onto in this time, Lord. And we truly are clinging onto it, Father. We love you. We thank you that you are the teacher. You are the preacher this morning. So I pray, Lord God, that you would use me, that our hearts would be open, that our ears would be open to what you have to say. Holy Spirit, you are in control, and this is your time. This is your moment. We're here for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, now you know we've been in a Holy Spirit series, right? And so how many of you girls were here last week? Just raise your hand at me. Pastor Tracy's so sweet. And she just taught on, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to kind of piggyback off of hers as well. But I just want to talk a little bit about the time and the moment that we're in, because I don't know about you, but I've been on kind of a roller coaster a little bit, you know. If you're like me, I'm like, the first month I can do this. Like, I can do this quarantine shelter in place. Like, I'm a rock star. I'm strong, you know. And then as it got extended, I kind of went down a little bit. And then you get these bursts of like, we can do this, right, everybody? We can do this. And it's a little bit of a roller coaster. And I consider myself a pretty positive person. Like, and I don't think it's just my personality, you know. I think if you're a Christian and you have the Spirit living inside of you, then there's something in you that just knows, well, everything's going to be okay. Because I've read the end of the book. I know that what lives inside of me is greater than what's on the outside of me. I know that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. I also know that as I read in those red letter scriptures that Jesus is the healer. And so there's just all these factors going on. And then I'm still living in real life and I'm still reading the news because I want to be current on things. And Facebook is Facebook. That's all I need to say. Okay. And so 'tis the roller coaster. But I've come to tell you that maybe my positive nature, you know, we're all in different places. And if you're just in a really down spot, please don't let this hope rub you the wrong way and say, is she even on the same planet? Is she even dealing with the same things that I'm dealing with? I am. I'm here with you. And we all have different circumstances, but I want you to know there is a hope. There is a hope for you. There is a hope for this world that you and I have to offer. And so it's very hard for me to sit in woe is me. And I think that's the faith that is inside of us. So I'm going to be excited and I'm going to be positive. But I do want you to know it has been a difficult time. You know, it's been a hard time getting into a new routine. I have three kids. And those of you who has kids in the home, like, I just want you to wave at me. And so. You know, after so many things have gone wrong, right? This last week, you know, just things are getting shut down. This last week, you know, I saw one of my favorite beaches get flooded, and you just think, that was the one place I went. Like, I don't know if you guys feel like that, right? Maybe your favorite restaurant was closed, you know, and then my favorite coffee shop closed down, and I was like,
that was the second other place I went, you know, and like things are just happening. And it seems silly to be sad over little things like that. But I realized, you know what, God is just having me create a new routine like that. That's just what I have to do. Like I can be sad for a moment and mourning some of these things, but there's a new routine that you and I need to get to. And there's a hope inside of us, and there's a power that's been transformed that even though things are disappointing and sad, and here I am talking about a coffee shop and a beach, but you may be dealing with a marriage in your home right now that if you see that person one more time that you have been sheltered in place with, okay, it's going to get ugly, right? And so there's tough things that all of us are dealing with. But if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there is a hope and a power that has been transferred. You see, I already got upgraded. I already got the download. I already know what it's like to be on the other side of that power living inside of me. So you can't talk me out of it. So even when things are tough, and even though this is an election year, and even though things seem a little crazy, I can't help but have hope because the power has been transferred. It's already happened. I've already seen it on the other side. You can't talk me out of it. I can't help but be hopeful. You know, it's just like when you plug in a cord, you know, the electricity has been transferred to the device. You know, if you're like me, you wake up in the morning and you realize, oh my gosh, my phone didn't charge. Like, has anybody ever done that? Like, I drive my husband crazy. I'm like, honey, all the chargers you buy me are broken. And he's like, no, you're just not plugging it in. And so I wake up in the morning, and maybe this is like you, and you know, your phone is at like maybe like 70%. And you're like, well, I got a lot of things to do today, and I'm just going to keep going, you know? And so you don't really have time to charge it anymore. And so you go, and you go to the grocery store, and you have your grocery list on your phone, because that's what I do. So I'm constantly looking at it, and I'm looking up recipes, and the battery's draining, and then I'm looking at the news, and then I'm texting a friend, and then I'm FaceTiming, you know, for Women Rock, you know, small groups, and so that's draining the battery. And then I jump in the car, you know, and let's just say I'm with a friend. And so I'm with a friend, and we have our masks on, and this is the new life, right? And so I have 1% on my battery, right? And we're driving, we're doing a long drive down the coast, just having fun, and I know I have this Zoom meeting for work. And I'm thinking, I have 1% on my battery, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to have to miss my Zoom meeting. And then all of a sudden, my friend says, oh, did you need a charger? Is that what you needed? Because I have like 3 car chargers right here. I got one in my purse, my portable charger. And this is what it's like when we don't offer people the Holy Spirit. As we see people running on 1%, and you just think, ooh, if they only had a charger. And I'm telling you, girls, that you have a hope that needs to be transferred to those in your world. You say, girl, just use my charger. It's a good one, okay? And you have enough to go around. You are not going to be without. But there's something that we have to offer. So today I want to talk about a couple. We have 3 baptisms I want to talk about. So I kind of just, you know, revved you up, got that charger going. We're going to go into a little bit of teaching now. And I want to talk about 3 baptisms. And because it's a foundation of our belief. It's a foundation of things that we practice here in Christianity. And so if you've ever seen a picture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I'm sure you girls have seen it. I hope one day to visit it. You know, I hope I can go and see it. But we have a picture of it. And this tower was built, I think, in the 1700s. And it was supposed to be upright. Right? It was not supposed to do that. It was not supposed to lean. And you've seen those people, Barbara, you want to get a picture of me, you know, pushing the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, you can put it, tag me on Facebook, girl. Okay, I'm just kidding. But, you know, people are taking those cute pictures where they look like they're pushing it. But this foundation was not right. And because the foundation was not right, it started leaning. And it kept leaning. Hallelujah. It hasn't fallen over, but our foundation is very important because it helps disperse the things that we're carrying. And so there's a foundation of baptisms in our walk with Christ that I want to talk about with you. Number one is this. The first baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit.
So we're going to get, you know, real technical with our language here, because there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to talk about. But right now I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and having all been made to drink into one Spirit." So there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that happens when we choose Jesus Christ, when we say, "God, I want your salvation. I want you to forgive me of my sins." And the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes us and fills us, right? We know that we are getting filled with the Holy Spirit because he is the baptizer. And in fact, I have a little illustration that, you know, Pastor Deborah, our founding pastor, is so good at, so hopefully I'll do justice to it. But as you and I get saved and born again, the Holy Spirit is literally filling us up. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer. So this is the Holy Spirit, right? And so you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. He's living inside of us. We are wall to wall him. And that is a new power for us. It's salvation. And so we're baptized into the body of Christ with salvation. So if you are born again, then you completely understand what it's like for the Holy Spirit to draw you out of your sin, to woo you and to say, "Come on, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you. Let's take this faith walk together." And to actually convict you of your sin and make you aware of your separation with God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's why he's one of the first baptisms of him. See, when you and I chose Jesus, the Holy Spirit actually did a supernatural work on the inside of you, to where you are now a new creation inside. That's the beauty of being born again. That's why we say words like born again. That's why we believe in being born again. It's a supernatural thing. At that moment, you became a part of something bigger than yourself. You became a part of the body of Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 12:4, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another." See, when you and I are baptized by the Holy Spirit, he's the baptizer in this first one, then we become a part of the body of Christ. And that's what makes the body of Christ so beautiful. That's what makes so beautiful you who are watching online all over, you know, the city, all over the state, all over the country, and even the world, is what makes it so beautiful that we connect by the Holy Spirit living inside of us because we've been baptized into the body. So that's baptism number one. Baptism number two is water baptism. And this is one of the foundations of our faith. Now, I grew up in church. How many people grew up in church? Okay, so I grew up in church, and how many people got baptized of the Holy Spirit, you know, more than once? Like, you've gotten saved more than once, so Julia knows, okay? Like, that's just, that you just want more and more. It's the same thing with water baptism. I just feel like, you know, as a child, I'm like, I want to get water baptized whenever I can. I don't know if anybody else was like that, but you know, water baptism is a foundation of our faith. And so to be water baptized, it means that we have, you know, we've been saved already. When we get water baptized, that doesn't bring us salvation. It's not that I'm saved because I'm water baptized. It's because I'm water baptized because I'm saved, if that makes sense. So I'm making, which we love to say, I'm making an outward declaration of an inward decision. And I want the world to know about it. So then if we're obedient to the commands of Scripture, we choose to experience a second baptism, which is water baptism. And that's our choice. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And so God wants us to be water baptized. Jesus asked us to do it. Jesus did it. And we have water baptisms next week, in case I'm talking you into it and you want to do that. Then you can jump into those water baptisms next week. And the guys wear a mask and the pastors and everything. So we want to keep it as safe as possible. But in Ephesians 2:1, it says, and he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, when we look at water baptism, it's an amazing example of how we were dead in our sins. And just like when Jesus went and died and he was in the grave and he rose again, you and I were dead in our sins. And as we go under, there is a salvation that we're declaring. And as we come up, we are made new. And there's a newness. And it's something that represents our salvation that's happening on the inside of us. And see, most people don't argue with water baptism because you can see the baptizer, right? Like, it's a pastor. It's, you know, somebody baptizing you. You can see them actually doing it. And so that's not a problem. And so we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we declare to the world, like, this is us. This is the new us. This is who I am. I'm dead to the old person, and this is the new me. And we have no problem, you know, doing that and making an example of that, because we're proud that we have made this decision. And it's not hard as far as faith is concerned, because you see who the baptizer is. But this third one is sometimes where people get hung up, and that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, we believe the Holy Spirit's living inside of us. I believe that I'm saved. I believe that I'm doing water baptism to show everybody. But then people start to get hung up on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist, who was a great baptizer because his name was John the Baptist, even suggested and said, okay, in Matthew 3:11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than me, and I whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So then we see that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So I've been baptized of the Holy Spirit, filled, and then I've done water baptism. But now Jesus is coming in and he's saying, now here's the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go ahead and baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So not only am I filled with the Holy Spirit, but now I am in the Holy Spirit, surrounded by the Holy Spirit, and there's a new power. It's been upgraded. You ever not upgraded your phone till you have to upgrade your phone till, like, your apps don't work? Okay, maybe you're in a place where your apps aren't working anymore, girl. All right, COVID got you, and you need to be upgraded. And you've put off this baptism in the Holy Spirit because it's hard to see the baptizer, right? It's hard to understand it. But I want to let you know that it is powerful, that it is godly, that there are scriptures that I'm going to walk you through that if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to jump all in. And Jesus is the baptizer. It's water in water, right? We're filled with water. We're in the water. It is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. See, having the empowering, enabling, and energizing presence of the Holy Spirit as a constant companion and friend is an extraordinary privilege. It's something that the Old Testament people, they didn't get to experience like we get to experience. It is a privilege for me to walk, you know, every day with the Holy Spirit. And only New Covenant believers can enjoy that. You know, I remember being 17 in a youth camp. And I remember the speaker talking about this, how when we get to heaven, and maybe one of the preachers have already said this, but I'm going to repeat it because it's due for repeating. But, you know, we're going to go in and we're going to see Moses and we're going to say, oh, my goodness, what was it like walking through the Red Sea? Like, really, was it dry land? Like, could you see on the other side of you, like, fish and stuff as you walk through with all the people? And then Moses is going to say, yeah, it was cool. What was it like living with the Holy Spirit? What was it like having that relationship day in and day out? Because Old Testament judges and kings and prophets, yes, the Holy Spirit would rest on them for a season. And they would walk in that and they would feel that. But you and I get that every single day. We're in it. We're immersed. The power has been transferred. And so what an extraordinary privilege you and I get to live in. So we see that the Holy Spirit would descend on them. And then immediately after Jesus' water baptism, Jesus was the first to have the Holy Spirit descend on him and remain. He was the first. And you and I get to walk in his footsteps and see the Holy Spirit now as we get baptized in the Holy Spirit to descend on us and remain. And, you know, Jesus told his disciples as they were waiting in the upper room, he said, I want you to wait and then go. I want you to wait and then go. And so they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to descend so that the Holy Spirit would remain on them so that they could be effective ministers at that in the new covenant. And see, you and I need to take a little advice from Jesus with wait and go. Don't you think in this day and age? Sometimes we don't wait at all, right? We just go. We just say it. That's just who we are. We just go. And then some of us don't go at all. We just wait. And we just, you know, pray about it forever. Pray and pray and pray. And there's a point when you've got to go. And you're going to feel the Holy Spirit tell you those things and nudge you to do those things. I love how Jesus said that. Wait and then go. And it says then in Acts chapter 1, verse number 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You see, if you've been born again, then the Holy Spirit has baptized into you. And you into Jesus at that moment you were saved. But let me ask you why you have not chosen to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because it is a new power that you and I need in this day. And let's not make it weird. Like, I've been reading these scriptures. Like, I've been talking for like 20 minutes, right? Like, there's scriptures about all this stuff. And I think that religious traditions have made it all foggy. Have made it like really weird. And I want to encourage you, stop making it weird. Just pick up your Bible and read it. Just pick up the Word of God and see it in the Scripture. We don't have to make it weird. You know, maybe you've heard of the great evangelist, you know, D.L. Moody. We have a picture up here, and he was in the late 1800s, you know, of D.L. Moody. And I heard about these bearded preachers that they're pretty powerful guys. But my husband has a big beard. But D.L. Moody was an evangelist. And so there was a point when he was traveling and there was these two elderly women, you know, who began to pray for him to get baptized into the Holy Spirit because he was doing works for God. But he believed, you know, hey, when I got saved, I got all the Holy Spirit that I need, right? This is where he was. He was at just the cup full. It's like, that's all I need. That's all I need. And so when he heard about these elderly women, you know, that had been praying for him, and I love women. I love us. Like, we're like, you're good, but you could be greater. And so I'm going to be praying for you. Okay? I'm going to be praying for you to get to baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? And some of us, we think that's not powerful. But I want to tell you, it moved on his heart. It moved on his heart so much that, now this is the late 1800s, so he was waiting for his ship to come in, which is just boggles my mind, right? But he's waiting for a ship to come in, and he's walking down Wall Street in New York, and at this point, he has went ahead and listened to the advice of these women, and he said, you know what? I do need the Holy Spirit. And so they prayed together with him, these simple women who just said, you know what? I know the power of God can be released in your life much stronger if you would just be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not that weird. Stop making it weird. And so now, a couple days later, as he's waiting for his ship to arrive, he's walking down Wall Street in New York, and the power of God hits him. So much that he had to go get another room, and the power of God just was all over that man. He had an experience with the Holy Spirit that forever changed his life, that forever changed his church, that forever changed Chicago, and even future generations like you and I today. And so, girls, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's time to be praying for people in your life. It's time to be offering them a charger, all right? Even if they say, well, I've got an Android. I'm just kidding. Sorry. I'm an iPhone girl. Okay? But you say, I'm telling you, you need this charge. You need this power in your life. And begin to pray for them. To pray for them. And so in Hebrews 6:1, it says this. We need to stop making it weird because it says this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works and faith towards God and the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. You see, you and I, we can get stuck into these religious traditions. And Paul's here saying, can we just move on? Like this, that's all important. And it is the foundational, remember the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but there's more to build on than that. And we can't just keep building on the same old stuff. But what can you and I do today if we have the power of God released in our lives with the Holy Spirit? So real quick, I want to show you, because in case you're questioning it a little bit, three places in the Word of God that we can see three baptisms right before our eyes. You can read it with your own eyes. And it says in Acts chapter 2, this is Peter's famous message. And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So he mentions three baptisms. He says repent, right? Being filled with the water, you know, being baptized of the Holy Spirit, be baptized in water, and then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's at Pentecost, right? Because people do like to say, well, that was for that time, okay? But then we see months later after Pentecost, go ahead and turn to Acts 8. Acts 8. And it says this, "And then they believed Philip as he was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracle signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard of Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet had fallen on none of them, and they had only been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus. Then he laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." So they went to the disciples, they were saved, right? They heard about the water baptism, and now here comes Peter and John saying, "Oh, I got a charger for you guys. All right, you haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about him." And then they received the Holy Spirit. And so that's months after Pentecost. Now this is the last one in Acts 19. This is years after Pentecost. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much even heard whether there was a Holy Spirit." And so he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" He said, "Well, into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who had come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And now the men were about 12 in all." So they got baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. So there's three examples of three baptisms that happened at Pentecost, months after Pentecost, years after Pentecost. If we read our Bible, it doesn't get that weird. Do you know what I'm saying? But when we hear rumors of people saying, "Well, I heard this, well, I heard that, well, this and that," you've got to dig into your own word and read it for yourself so that you can believe. Amen. So to sum it all up, salvation is a miraculous work of grace that is happening on our hearts. Water baptism doesn't save us, but it's a symbolic outward way of what's happened to us inwardly. We're showing it to the world. We're declaring that we're bearing our old sinful nature. And in fact, you know, in Colossians 2:11, it says, in him who you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcisions of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him in faith. I was talking to my husband about it, and we were saying, like, this is like a spiritual circumcision. And he said, "Well, yeah, this is the only, you know, women get to participate in this circumcision." I'm like, "Women, we're okay, you know, we're okay with you guys doing the circumcision thing, all right? But we get to participate in it spiritually because we are cutting off the old man, and that is a symbol of water baptism. So that's for free there. All right, and then the baptism in the Holy Spirit releases within us a supernatural empowerment. In fact, in Luke 24, verse number 49, it says, "We are clothed in heavenly power." You can't talk me out of this. It may sound weird, but once you experience it, you can't talk me out of this. I know there are great men and women of God who maybe have done good things for the kingdom. In fact, they've built heaven. People have gotten saved, and maybe they don't operate in the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but you can't talk me out of it. Because I know that the power that's been released in me, I can't walk away from it. I've been raised in church. I think maybe the second service I came to, Pastor Sue was on the front, in the front of the children's ministry stage. I had to have been in fifth grade. And and they were doing baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I just think, I don't know exactly what this is, but I want it. And that's a fifth grader. What is that, like an 11-year-old or 10-year-old or something? And so my whole life, I've walked with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it's like to live without him. I can't give you that advice. I can't tell you, you know, maybe in my teenage years, you know, when I was acting all, you know, getting in trouble and stuff. But even then, the Holy Spirit said, you can't go that far, girl. All right. You better get your butt back in church. And you can't do that. And I could still hear the Holy Spirit's voice. Because I've lived in this immersed life. So do you feel, maybe you're sitting in this room or maybe you're watching online and you feel a little left out? Girl, you are getting left out. Get immersed in the Holy Spirit. Get that transfer into your life. You become a new person. The old person was cut off. And now there's a power to walk in the new and just make a difference. You know, just looking at this, I want to just give you real quick some real life application. Because what I talked about, you know, it's like, woo, this is amazing. I want it. Let's go. But that doesn't mean everything is rainbows and sunshine and nothing bad ever happens. I remember having a conversation with a young person, and he was a musician from another church. And, you know, I was saying, oh, you're a musician. Do you play like Hillsong and, you know, Bethel and all that stuff? He's like, we stay away from the Bethel. They're a little into the miraculous and, you know, miracles and stuff like that. And he's like, you know, that's just, I don't know. They're just too far with that. So in the meantime, I literally have just read like a whole miracle. We get like a miracle report at the Rock Church because we are immersed in the Holy Spirit. And there's literally like 25 miracles a week around here. It's insane. And so I'm like, okay. And he's like, yeah, people are still dying. I'm like, well, gosh, okay. I mean, if that's the standard you're holding us all to, like, we're all going to die once, all right? Like, it's going to happen. And so everything's not going to be perfect, but it doesn't mean that you don't still walk in the Holy Spirit. You don't still believe God for stuff. We've got to keep believing God. We've got to keep calling on him with his promises. So real quick, three real life things. Number one, you are still empowered even when things don't go perfect. Even when things don't go perfect, you are still empowered. Things are not going perfect right now. Don't think that you're walking outside of the Holy Spirit. Don't think that he's left you. Don't think that it's not real. You know, sometimes God has different plans. We've got to be very careful when we don't feel like a winner, conqueror. God has different ways of teaching us. Sometimes winner isn't always like, yeah. Sometimes winner is admitting when you're wrong. Sometimes winner is asking for forgiveness. Sometimes winner is submitting and being quiet. Winner looks different. So even when things don't seem to go perfect all the time, you're still empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's still doing a work that you cannot see. Second thing is things take time. You're still empowered even when things take time. Doesn't mean that God is not working. He's working. My husband and I were at, you know, a coffee shop, and we were talking to some young girls, and they're not going to church or anything, and we had known this girl for a long time, and so we're talking to her, and then her friend, it's always funny when people find out you're a pastor, they're like, oh, you're a pastor. And she said, I love Jesus too. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, but with all this, you know, COVID thing happening, she's like, when is God going to get his together? And so I was like, oh, was that for shock and awe? Like, why are we doing that? And so my husband, you know, being who he is, he said, I think God's probably saying the same thing about you. All right. So, and we laughed. And I don't know how she took it, but
But we sometimes look at God like, hey, God, this is, you know, this 100 year, we haven't seen a pandemic like this in 100 years. And when are you going to wrap this thing up? All right. And we look at God and God's timing is different than our timing. And why is it God's fault? That's the other thing. And so I just want to continue to tell you that you're still empowered, even though things take time. Even though it's taking time to find that job, even though it's taking time to raise that kid who's just having, you know, giving you difficult moments, it's taking time and it's okay. It's okay. Number three, I'm empowered even when things go completely wackadoodle 2020 crazy. I spelled it out for you if you're taking notes. Okay? You're still empowered. It is crazy. It is wackadoodle. It is, every day you open the news and you're just like, what? Okay? And yes, but you are still empowered. And you know what? The Bible is full of people and saints that I can look up to and I can see, you know what? Even in a crazy time, they were still empowered. It didn't mean that the Holy Spirit had left them, that they were going through the crazy time. You and I are going through this wild time and the Holy Spirit is still remaining on you. And even in these crazy moments, I believe that God is going to give you ideas on how you're going to do school for your kids next year, on how you're going to keep growing your marriage. Having a marriage while all your kids are at home 24/7, that's a new one for me, okay? And you have to get new ideas on how to connect with your spouse, how to have a conversation, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just growing. It's just growing. And God's going to empower you to get through this crazy time. So I hope you girls got something out of that. If you did, just give the Lord a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.